In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Family is important. I know I've spent some time around Christmas reminding you not to love family more than God, but that does not mean that family is unimportant. The greater the gift, the greater the temptation to love it more than God. We're probably not in danger of loving our socks more than God, but family can easily become an idol, especially around Christmas. We want to do what makes them happy. We want to spend time with them. And yet it easily can become our main objective and focus during that time of year. Nevertheless, family remains the greatest earthly gift that God has given. God has blessed man by saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have children, raise children, group yourselves into family and spread out throughout the earth. In this way you will fill the earth, in this way you will subdue the earth." Thus, in a perfect world, God established family as the basic building block of society. Husband, wife, children. How much more necessary is that structure in a sinful world? Where that structure breaks down, when marriage and having children are seen as unnecessary or even as a hindrance to life, then society will also break down. Woe to that nation that fights against family structure. Woe to the nation that does not lift up the family. Disaster is sure to come. God will not be mocked. So we do well to teach our children to honor this holy estate and to see it as a great gift from God. We will not pressure them into marriage, but we will certainly encourage them to seek a faithful spouse and so fulfill God's ordinance spoken at the beginning. Nevertheless, we do not enter this blindly. There is a unique cross laid upon marriage, which those who have married have experienced all too well. It's hard to live with a sinner in one place, together, for the rest of your days on this earth. But I fear that we've held before our children's eyes the hardships of marriage, whether verbally or simply in our actions. I fear that we have seen it as a burden instead of the greatest gift that God has given, not just before our children, but also before our friends. Have we talked about it as restricting our freedom, hindering our own personal growth, or as an estate where God trains men to sacrifice everything for wife and children, and where he trains women to submit and to receive with joyful contentment their husbands and their children and the earthly blessings that come therein? Our culture does not help us in this. They take independence to an idolatrous end. Careers, personal goals, individual growth are the top priority for them. You must make something of yourself first, and marriage and children only hinder your growth. So they say. Kids are expensive and time-consuming and extremely taxing on one's emotional stamina. Better to avoid such difficulties, they say. Better to get your feet planted first, they say. Better to make something of yourself, to do what makes you happy first instead of living for someone else. Better for women to make money and be independent rather than tied to a husband. And the same, they say, is true for a husband. And here's the worst. Better to be a productive member of society than simply raise children. But what they fail to realize is that the most productive member of society is the one who raises kids. Far more productive and beneficial and vital to society than any doctor, dentist, or any other occupation you could have. We should view it the other way around. I want to be a productive member of society, therefore I will be grouped into a family, God willing. And I will raise children, Lord willing. There is no greater blessing from God than that. But remember, it's a blessing, not a right. And God does not give these blessings to everyone equally. To some he gives more, to others less. To some he gives large families or even small families. To others he gives none. And that is a cross they must bear. And then we add to that the sin which man and women inflict and insert into their marriage, that destroy marriages. Why did Moses permit them to write a certificate of divorce? The disciples asked Jesus. Because your hearts are hard, Jesus replied. Because sin will ruin marriages, and sinners will do things that destroy marriages. And so now we deal with broken households, shattered relationships, split up families. And yet God says this. He says he remembers the barren. He remembers the fatherless. He remembers the widow. They hold a special place in his heart. And he specifically tells his church to care for them, protect them, and love them, because their cross is far more difficult than we could imagine. Our Lord so loves families that he did not want to come as a 30-year-old adult. He could have, even as Adam and Eve were created as adults, but he wanted to be in a family. And so with his presence, he blessed families. For 30 years, he lived submissive to Mary and Joseph. Yes, he kept the law in our place and fulfilled what we as children could not do. But he honors this holy estate by his presence. The greater was subject to the lesser, and he willingly accepted it. And so children should learn that their place is underneath their parents, even if their parents are far less competent than they. For if the Son of God is willingly submitted to the care and instruction of his parents, then how much more can children submit to their parents? And yes, that includes submitting to them even after you've grown and moved out of the house. We don't cease being their children the moment we move. We don't stop obeying the fourth commandments the moment we're gone. It changes in the way we carry it out, but nevertheless, we still honor, serve, and obey them, love, and cherish them. They are great gifts of God. And so how happy is the house where children listen to the instruction of their parents? In fact, I dare you to find a more happy place on earth than that home. It is a marvelous gift of God. How blessed are you, children, more than many others, because you have parents to teach you to fold your hands, to bow your head and say your prayers. Praise and thank God daily when your parents wake you up to take you to church and to discuss the scriptures with you at home. Many do not have such parents, for parents are duty bound to preach the word. Their vocation as father or mother requires it of them. They cannot pick and choose if they want to do it or not. God says, do this, train your children in the way of the Lord. So what good is it if a parent teaches their child all about life here on earth, but not about life eternal? What good is it even if a parent encourages their children toward some great degree or occupation and yet fails to hold forth the blessing that God gives in a godly life grouped in families? If Mary and Joseph carefully raised the holy child to fear the Lord, if they diligently taught him to pray, to sing, to study, to meditate, then so should we. It's not an option for parents. Parents are God's tools to raise godly children. Perhaps the reason that Christianity has declined over the past decades is not simply because of the church's failures, but also because parents have neglected and outsourced their responsibility, and so have taught their kids that this is of secondary importance to maintaining life, freedom, happiness, a career, or whatever else. If Mary and Joseph recognize it as their duty to bring the Son of God to the temple for Passover, if this was their custom, then we should also recognize it is our duty to bring our children to Christ. For our children are in far greater need of his love and grace. Daily their names should be in our prayers. Their salvation should be our top priority. You are to teach them to live as a Christian, not just one day a week or 1 hour, but each and every day, that they are different from the world around them because they are a baptized child of God, that their goals are not career or money or happiness, but faithfulness to God and where He has put them. And they should strive for family, for husband, for wife. And money and careers are simply tools that are to benefit the family. Teach them to desire the blessings of God found in marriage and family. For should we not desire the blessings which God wants to give? This teaching is done formally and informally, by words and by actions as they watch you live. To be sure, it is no easy task. But be faithful to your Lord and trust that He loves them more than He loves you. More than you love your children. After all, He became a child like them to save your children from their rolling eyes, their disobedience, and their quick outbursts. He could have stayed at the temple, but He didn't. He could not, in fact, have stayed at that temple. For he had to fulfill the scriptures. He is the fulfillment of the temple, the priesthood, and all things that happened there. But His current focus and work as a 12-year-old boy was obedience, was submission to Mary and Joseph. He kept the law faithfully for 30 years. He increased in wisdom and stature with favor of God and with men, even as we do. This perfect life He wove together, dipped it in His holy blood, and draped it over your shoulders at baptism so that you might have an eternal family that death can never destroy. For families are only for this earth, and in the life to come, there shall be one family, the family of God. God shall be our Father. Jesus is our great brother. And we of many walks, nations, ethnicities, and places shall all be one. And remember, there is no greater joy than that of family. For now He gives you back your vocation. Christ has set you free so that you might live as a child or as a parent. Delight in these wonderful blessings that God has poured out on you. For God is your Father, heaven is secure, and He will bring you home. But for now, He leaves you on earth so that you might be a blessing to others. So that you might live for others and not for yourself. So that you might continue to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And having done that, to subdue it. And in that service, you find joyful contentment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.